World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from one of our Canadian studios, here's Leon Fontaine.
As a young leader, I struggled to understand the components of leadership. We use the word, and most people don't think they're leaders, but everybody leads. Everybody. You lead your children. You lead by example. Leadership is crucial and taught throughout the Bible, everywhere, and we tend to miss it. Much of the business training that is out there today, much of the leadership training that is out there today by secular people, colleges, universities, is all biblically based because all truth is parallel. And they won't quote Jesus, they won't give you Bible in verse, but the Bible is the most stunning, phenomenal book when it comes to every area of our lives, our spiritual life, our soulish life, mind and emotions, and our physical life. This ability to lead a good life, to develop companies, countries, a world, etc., is all been taught to us in the Bible. And so as a new senior pastor, I'd been involved in church all my life and for 14 years working with my dad. When we first began to pastor Spring, Sal and I, in 94, we saw such staggering growth in the church that numerically in our building we doubled every year. We did that for about 5 or 6 years, and then it was just absolutely uncontainable if you do the math. And so my problems weren't that I needed to pray harder. I had to figure out how to park cars. My problem wasn't that I needed to love people more. I needed to know where to put the toddlers, the babies, the nursing moms when we didn't have room. I didn't need to just go away all week and play golf to de-stress myself. I had to get teams together and figure this out. And so I struggled to understand, you know, where do skills fit in? Where do my gifts fit in? What kind of education, you know, do I need to pursue so that I could do this? And there's so much stuff out there, from problem solving to handling teams, skill development, developing your own strong soul and emotions, a strong heart. There's just so much stuff. Yet everywhere I go, I find leaders so stressed out. So many leaders, when they're unable to develop themselves properly, and I'm going to show you one thing that's going to change your life today, they begin to become successful very linearly in one area. So they can succeed in business or in career, but it'll cost them their marriage and their kids. Others can have great marriages and families, but they can't seem to succeed in business. Others can succeed in business and in family, but they can't keep a healthy body. Others can't keep a healthy mind. In North America, we struggle with mental and emotional problems, and I think that in North America, we consume 90% of all mental health meds. And so where there is the most prosperity, where there is the most success, I mean, America being the economic engine of the world and something everyone's looking at, yet you go into that country and you'll see broken people. When a leader does rise up and get successful, you'll notice that if they begin to lose control somewhere, they get angry and controlling and manipulative, whether it's premiers, whether it's prime ministers, leaders of business, the mom leading her kids, a dad leading his family, a pastor leading his church. Every one of us must understand and develop ourselves in this area of leadership. Also, people begin to resort to drugs. They'll resort to alcohol. They'll resort to dangerous pleasures. to try to lessen the pressure. And the pressure isn't real. Pressure is never real. It's something that you measure and that you interpret and you believe. I believe that every one of us can be amazing leaders. I believe you can have your cake and eat it too. I believe that you can succeed in every area of life and that they can all bless each other. And so I'm going to talk to you today about something that I see in the Word of God, and it's coming out of Matthew chapter 25. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Now, the kingdom of heaven is not talking about the place heaven. It's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Two kingdoms on the planet, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is always going to be fighting against freedom. It's always going to be fighting against health. It's always going to be fighting against happiness and joy and great management. There's a kingdom, two of them, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. If the kingdom of darkness raises up better leaders than the kingdom of light, then you're in big trouble. In your country, you're in big trouble everywhere. And the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of heaven, needs to develop every one of us in our skill set so we can begin to do what God's called us to do. So the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his servants and he delivered. I'm going to change some words around because we get so messed up sometimes by not understanding the word properly or studying it. And so he calls his servants together and he delivers his goods, his resources he delivers to them. To one he gives 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Why did they get 5, 2, and 1? Next line says this: each according to their ability. Isn't God interesting? He doesn't give to you according to your gender. Resources don't come to you according to your color of skin. Resources don't come to you because of education. It says here that this resource, now the King James calls it talents, and people got really messed up when they actually thought it meant what gifts do you have, what your talents. No, a talent was a bag of gold. Okay, and it represented so many years of your salary. It's just talking about resource. So here the master gives somebody 5. He gives somebody 2. He gives somebody 1. And he wasn't being unfair. He was giving out resource according to the present ability that person had. Very interesting. So, the guy with 5, it says he went out and traded with them. He did business with them. This is very secular. There's no such thing as secular. Everything is spiritual. And he went out and he made 5. The guy with 2 went out and traded with it, and he made another 2. He had 4. The guy with 1 buried it. Now, he had an ability to handle the 1 because he was given the resource of 1 because the master knew he could handle the 1. He came back. And he spoke with each of them. And he said to the guy with 5, you've been faithful with little. I'm making you a leader, a ruler over much. The guy with 2, you've been given 2 because he had an ability of 2. He was given a resource of 2, but he took the resource and he went from an ability of 2 to an ability of... Thank you. The guy with 5 had an ability of 5, given a resource of 5, took the 5, went and worked with it, and the resource and the ability went to... Okay, I want you to really get this, because people have read this and studied this and spiritualized it, I'll talk with people all the time. God, I just pray you'll give me a $250,000 job. Great, you're about to get a resource of $250,000. Do you have an ability to handle the office that goes with the income? The guy with 1 was told that he was lazy, and he was. He made excuses like so many do. It was taken from the guy with 1 and given to the guy with 10. Why was it given to the guy with 10? Because if you study this parable out, He's always, resources always follow ability. It must have been that the guy with 10 at that point could handle the one better than the guy with 4. Or if the guy, so this is something we see, and we've got to, and don't look too deep into parables. Just see what Jesus is saying. So he said, if you're faithful over a few things, I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You're going to notice in life that the fullness of joy has a lot to do, according to this, with fulfilling purpose. And when you don't feel purposeful, when you don't feel like you add significance to life, to the company, to the family, to wherever you are, you begin to feel inadequate and you lose your joy. And people begin to look for purpose. Many people who become wealthy recognize right away they have no purpose because their wealth is simply a tool. To develop the tool, to develop a chainsaw better and better and better and better and better till it's the chainsaw that makes the whole world sing, but to never use it for any purpose is to be really unhappy. There's no purpose to your giftedness, your stewardship, your personal capacity, your ability. And so here, this is talking about something that I'm just going to call personal capacity. You have, everybody has a personal capacity. And we have to understand that your quality of life is determined by your personal capacity, not by your education, your skill, your giftedness, your ability, not by just your stewardship, your spiritual life. There is something that we see in here that is called personal capacity.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Every day, we are bombarded with messages telling us that pleasure is the key to living a happy life. The trouble is, it doesn't work. The truth is, when the pursuit of pleasure becomes your priority, it can actually lead you to more pain. We need to challenge the lies we've been fed and learn what truly leads to a life of fulfillment and joy. In this series by Leon Fontaine, learn 3 things that will lead you to a life of purpose and fulfillment.
For a gift of $30 or more, I want to send you this series, Live with Joy and Purpose. When there are difficult people in your life, that can be hard to do, and that's what this is about. So, for a gift of $30 or more, get your copy right now.
Find true joy by pursuing purpose starting today.
Years ago, an old friend of mine kind of put a little formula together, and he said, your ability plus God's resource plus your stewardship equals personal capacity. So how you steward your abilities when the resource comes in, that's called stewardship. You and I are not owners. You do not own anything you have. Some people think, well, this is my money, I made it. No, God gave you that, and he said, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You have given yourself to Jesus. You are stewarding your giftedness, your ability. You are stewarding any resource or opportunity or position or influence that he gives you. There's different ways to look at resource. You are stewarding it for the kingdom of God. So every person on the planet has a personal capacity, and everything God gives you in life has the ability to increase. The church should be putting out leaders of such caliber. You know, people often, I'll meet with pastors, and they want to know spiritually what I do to have churches in cities and televisions around the world and programs in different languages and schools and all the things. And people just think, man, my has God blessed you? Of course. But God's resource follows ability. If your ability and your stewardship is not changing, then you can't handle the resource that God is pouring out. If 3 men walked up here and they are so thirsty and I have got a hose and I'm going to give them each a drink of water. But one's got a 3-ounce cup, one's got a 9-ounce cup, and one's got a whole backpack 5-gallon thing he uses when he uses his bike. And so I just let them have as much water as they can. I'm just pouring till their cup overflows, which is biblical throughout the Bible. Your cup is always overflowing. He always gives you more than you could ask or think or imagine. But do you have the capacity to do anything with it? So the guy with 3 ounces, he's got 3 ounces. He's going to throw that back and be thirsty in minutes. The guy with 8 at least gets a full cup of water. There's water all over the floor. But they can't use that resource because they don't have the capacity to hold it, to use it, to apply it. The guy with the entire backpack, well, that guy can go for a few hours. But the guy that's got a line to a cistern, etc. So you understand, capacity. You have a personal capacity. And that's what the Bible is teaching us here. And so we must be developing our personal capacity. People are praying for money. People are praying for blessing. People are praying for favor. People are praying for wisdom. And I like all of that is needed. But the quality of your life is going to be determined, as I'm speaking to Christians, all things being, it's going to be determined by your personal capacity. So I want to say that again. You have an existing ability. And God gives you the resource, but you're only going to be able to hold as much as you have an ability for. And as the resource grows, your ability grows. And then because your stewardship is getting better, which is your management ability. Management is the key. It's the key of life, keys of life. Whatever you manage well. It's amazing. Whatever you don't manage well will control you. When you look at people in the Old Testament, like King David, who killed a lion, then he killed a bear, then he killed a giant. It's not that those were problems. No, his ability went after that lion with the resource that he had was a slingshot. He used that thing. He was practicing with that slingshot all the time. And he was fighting, and he went out and ripped apart this lion. He killed a bear, and then he went after Goliath. And each of these things, he was using his ability, the opportunities God gave him, the presence of God, the resource of God, and eventually he became a king that was running a country and had the resources of hundreds of thousands of soldiers, talent, etc. A steward is someone who looks after another's resources. Jethro and Moses found the same thing in Exodus 18. Moses, he was having a hard time handling the people. And Jethro, who was from another city, it was his father-in-law, said, "What you do is not good." And he said, why? Because he was stressed out. He had gotten to his set point, if you want to call it, or your level of hard. Whenever you find something hard, you have reached your limit. And you are going to plateau or quit or fail. And our language becomes, "Oh, I've just had enough of this. I'm finished." I've heard moms talk to their kids that way. And I think they use it just to try to discipline them that this is the last time. I'm finished. But you're teaching your kids limited personal capacity. Mom's done. Dad's done. And you shouldn't use language that teaches your kid that there's a limit. It should be, "Hey, I'm speaking once. You've got like 30 seconds. When I come back, there's going to be a problem." And stop giving them the opportunity to let you scream and talk and scream and talk until finally they know you're done. Because they'll just manipulate you. It's just natural in this fallen world to do that. And so we need to understand this level of hard. And it's there for every one of us. Now, once you hit that, you've got a decision to make. And that decision is whether you are going to go with the flesh, and now you're going to try to manipulate. If you're owning a company and you're stressed, you're trying to pay bills, you can't handle the two teams that you've got, you're trying to supervise, you're trying to get onto the job site, or you're a politician and you're trying to work the systems that the government has in place. And so you've got a set chessboard, and you've got certain moves you can do and can't do. And so chess, though, has got a lot of moves. And to be a good chess player, you just got to know which ones to move when it comes to getting ahead. These are not just skills and abilities. These are things that we must steward and work at and believe and trust that God is going to always give you the resource. You need to continue to increase in your personal capacity. So what is your pain threshold? What's your threshold of hard? A teacher that we brought in, who's supposed to be one of the top 25 business consultants in the world, Sam Chand, speaks all the time about the only difference between you and someone way beyond you is they can handle more pain. When they hit their pain threshold, they adapt, they change. Others marinate in their pain and their frustration, tell everybody how hard they work, tell everybody how stressed out they are, replay all the things that they do that no one sees, and they now begin to marinate in this set point, this pain threshold, their threshold of hard. Whereas great leaders, you don't even know what they're doing. Until, you know, they'll die, and people will start talking about them and realize, you know how much this is accomplished here? Because while others are complaining and whining, and do you know what I'm going to? Have you any idea how much I'm doing? And that's more important to them than changing that pain threshold and moving it way up so they can go into another season and do more for their family, their marriage, their business, their nation, the kingdom of God. And so one of the things I want to give you in closing is recognize the power of Galatians 5:22, which is the fruit of the Spirit, or the strengths that Holy Spirit has brought into your spirit. And recognize that in 2 Corinthians 12:20, it says there, as a believer, if you don't increase in your personal capacity properly, that your leadership, your life, your marriage, your family, your business, your everything will have discord. It'll be jealousy, there'll be fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. That's what happens when people don't grow in the things of God and develop their personal ability. These 9 strengths are not something that you haven't heard about. But until you love the people around you that you are leading, which means to have value for them, until you value and then you learn to walk in joy, which is a calm, great feeling. Happiness comes from happenings. Whatever's happening gives you happiness. I'm going to go water skiing. I'm so happy I'm going water skiing. But joy is a disciplined force that comes from the Spirit that you can develop. And these 9 fruits of the Spirit, which I could have cared less my entire life in looking at them, not my entire life, but as a young leader, I begin to recognize that a leader with joy is almost impossible to weaken that person because his love will keep him. A leader that is kind, that has long suffering, that has got self-control, who is gentle or humble, faithfulness, which is fruitfully faithful, kindness, which is moral integrity, long suffering, which is patience, peace. These strengths will have you in the midst of where everyone's freaking out. Chicken Littles are running everywhere trying to get you to make the wrong move, because the biggest thing is making the wrong decision, making the wrong move. But leaders who walk in these strengths, they can easily hear the voice of God. And I want to challenge you today with this. Your personal capacity. People quit marriages. I've had enough. There's just no more. And okay, I'm not saying that there's not a place where you can, because there is. But is it just because you have limited personal capacity? Some people quit careers, leave cities, leave countries. Have it! Okay, fine. Sometimes I think that's very smart. But not smart if you're doing it before you increase your personal capacity. Some people change careers. They've had enough. They're stressed out. They don't know they can't do anymore. And I said, totally agree. If you have been developing your personal capacity. And this is not just because your personal capacity, this pain threshold, this threshold of hard has stressed you out, messed you up. You're taking your work home and it's messing up your marriage. You're taking your work into your kids and you're messing up your kids. Your emotions are messed up. Your health is dying. Or your marriage problem is being taken to work and making your work hard. Or your parenting problem is wrecking your marriage. Your parenting problem is wrecking you going to work. You can't even concentrate. This issue of personal capacity impacts every area of your life. God knows it, He understands it, and He's teaching you and I to develop and to grow, and Holy Spirit will guide you in it. I want to give you one assignment. Just please wake up to your personal capacity. That's what's ringing your bell. That's what's hurting you, limiting you. That's what's making you stressed, angry, freaking out. That's what's limiting your future and causing you to doubt and get into unbelief, to look at what you've got and not be thankful. It's personal capacity. Increase it and watch life change. If you're watching today and you don't know this Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you need to understand that as you hear the teaching of God's Word, faith rises in your heart. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why you feel like, I think I need this. You do. You need Jesus. And so pray this simple prayer of you giving Him permission, because He's giving you free will that He won't violate. And just say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for sending Jesus, who died in my place and gives me a gift of salvation. Jesus, come into my heart. I'm following You for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Welcome to the family of God, whoever prayed that prayer.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media